Hello, my name is Terry Cheek. You are listening to Crisis and Concern for September the 8th, 2015. Welcome to a program that addresses current events from a biblical worldview. Call your family, friends, and church members. Tell them the latest Crisis and Concern podcast is posted for immediate download at sermonaudio.com/PastorTerry and now available on iTunes, listed as the Inspiring Word. Today, I want to discuss in particular the thought of persecution, or I guess we could call it more of punishment for Christianity. I want to take you to a passage of Scripture, Acts, and I'm going to discuss Acts chapter 3 and chapter 4 on this podcast. In chapter 3, if we take a look at that, we will see, beginning with verse number 1, that Peter and John went to the temple. They were going there at a time of prayer around the ninth hour, or it said the Bible specifically says being in the ninth hour. And there was a lame man. Now, this man was born lame. He didn't have an accident. He wasn't injured in any way. He was born in this condition. And people brought him there, and they laid him at the gate of the temple. And basically, he looked for alms or handouts. And he needed that generosity to live. Because we know in this age that Peter and John lived in, there was no disability, there was no food stamps, there were no social programs in place. The Roman government did not care about these people because these people could not help the Roman government. Likewise, the religious leaders, the Jews, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, those folks, they really didn't care about them either because there was no benefit to them for taking care of these folks. So this man wanted a handout, wanted an alm, we would say, from Peter and John. Well, Peter looked at him in verse number 4 of chapter 3, and he started talking with him. And he told them, he gave heed to them, the man gave heed to them, expecting to receive something. Peter told him in verse 6, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And then the Bible is very specific about this. It says, "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." Now, folks, it doesn't get any more specific than that. Peter took him by the right hand, helped him up. His ankles and his feet became strong. He received strength. And in verse 8, "And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." Now, we realize and accept this as a miracle that worked not through Peter, but was worked by God in the presence of Peter because of Peter's faith, and this man was healed. Now, the interesting part of this that I want you to see and keep in your mind tonight is the fact that this man was born lame. He did not need physical therapy. He did not need surgery. He did not need to go through any of the processes. And an amazing point, this man had never walked before in his life. He did not understand and know, his brain did not know the concept of putting one foot in front of the other. It had never been taught. Never. But yet he received strength and he walked and he leapt and he praised God. What a miracle. What a miracle it was. Now, the rest of this chapter goes through and discusses more detail into this. And if you haven't read it in a while, I want to encourage you to do so. It is some reading that will really bless your heart, I promise. But now I want to move on. That's some background into where I'm going in this podcast. I want to move on to chapter 4. In chapter 4, it says, as they spoke unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. So Peter and John were preaching or teaching. And then here come the priest and the other people in the temple. And they were grieved because Peter and John was teaching. And they preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And that bothered the Sadducees. And that bothered all of these leaders of the temple. Why? Because they knew that they were still living with the reality that they crucified the Son of God. And on the third day, He rose from the dead. They were still struggling with that. They were still dealing with it. And because of the convictions of their sin, because of the convictions and the unrepentant nature of what they had done, they laid hands on Peter and John, and they put hold on them. They threw them into jail. And they were going to hold them there overnight. And what they didn't realize, though, was in verse 4 of chapter 4, that many of those which heard the preaching believed, and that number was about 5,000. So there were about 5,000 souls that were saved because of Peter and John's preaching before they were cast into jail. Now the next day comes, beginning in verse 5. And the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and all of these people were gathered together. And then they brought Peter and John, and they brought this man that was lame and had been healed, and they put him in the midst. They put them all in the middle of them. And they were all in the middle of this group of people. And they began to question them. And they wanted to know, what power or by what name have ye done this? In verse 7 of chapter 4. And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. I like that. I really like that. That it says Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost, because there is none of us that preach the Word of God and do it on our own accord. Not one of us can do it unless we are filled with the Holy Ghost. That is evidenced in God's Word here in Acts chapter 4, verse 8. And it is evidenced in my life every time I stand in a pulpit. It is evidenced in any real born-again, God-called preacher. They have to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's important. It's necessary for us to have that. Well, what did Peter say? Well, he looked at them, and I'm assuming he looked at them. I kind of paraphrased that in there. But he quoted them, and he quoted his remarks at the rulers of the people and the elders of Israel. He said in verse 9, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means is he made whole? Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you the builders, which become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. In verse 13, we are now reflecting back, and we're looking at these leaders and these noble men. Well, they saw that the boldness of Peter and John was there, and they perceived and they realized that they were unlearned men. They hadn't been formally educated in any of this. And they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, they respected them, that they had been with Jesus. And they also noticed the man that had been healed standing with them. And it says in verse 14, they could say nothing against it. But they commanded them to go aside out of the council, and then these folks talked with themselves and among themselves. And in verse 16 of chapter 4, we see that they talked and they asked, and they asked, "What shall we do with these men? For that indeed a notable miracle was done by them. It's manifest, it's seen by all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." Then in verse 18 we see they called them in and they told them not to speak nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak of the things which we have seen and heard." Then they further threatened them some more, and they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God about that which was done. Now, the rest of the chapter goes on to talk about Peter and John going back with the group, telling them what had happened, and the praising and the worship, and just a beautiful event of God coming down among His people. And now I want to come to verse 31 of chapter 4. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." Glory to God. "And they spoke the word of God with boldness." Why do I take us down this road in this broadcast? Very simple. This, over the last couple of weeks, most everyone in America and worldwide actually has been following a story of a Kentucky clerk. A Kentucky clerk that has been thrown into jail for violating a judge's order, and all of the publicity that's went along with that, all of the issues that have came along with it and been discussed with it, and everything of that nature. I thought about these verses as I have, I guess, meditated on everything that's happened with this lady and all of the attention that she has been given. She's glorified God in everything she has done, and my hat's off to her. There have been many that have tried to demonize her. There have been many who have said, "But look at her past." Yes, and she isn't denying her past. She admits wholeheartedly that she has made her mistakes. She has committed her sin. She has repented of her sin. And she has moved on with serving God. She had a job that she really enjoyed doing. And then because of our Supreme Court and their overreach of their authority and their arrogance of redefining marriage from what God has established it to be, and then by legalizing the sin of homosexuality, this lady steps up and she says, "It doesn't matter to me. I'm going to do the right thing." You know, when we look at our scripture again, and we go back to the comments of Peter and John in verse 19, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." When I think of this lady, I think of these verses. I think that she whether consciously or subconsciously, she looked at these verses, and through these, she basically told the judicial system the same thing. Whether it is right in the sight of God for me to obey you more than to obey God, you judge. But for me, I speak the things which we have seen and heard, the things of God, the Word of God. And that's something that is very, very important in this context. It isn't about her violating an oath. It isn't about her, and I've seen people pull out of context, especially the Huffington Post. Oh, my goodness, I don't know where these people get their theology from that write for these groups, but it is really twisted. But in either case, they're trying to say that, well, the Bible says that you have to obey Caesar, give Caesar what is Caesar's, and blah, blah, blah. And that's what they're trying to say, that she's violating the Bible for doing this and doing that. No, she isn't. She's making a conscious decision to stand on the Word of God. And I respect that. I respect that. I noticed today that the judge released her from jail. I think it was kind of odd, and I do have to say probably politically motivated, because two presidential candidates were scheduled, or those two candidates, people running for president, Mike Huckabee and I think Ted Cruz, were going there to visit her in jail today. And the judge says, hey, I don't need the media. I don't need the fanfare. Enough is enough. I've proved my point. So I'm letting her go. But now, what about the fact that she still won't issue licenses? That's interesting. There are some other things that are much more interesting than this as well that follow this story. There is a judge, a very liberal judge, that is practicing gay, practicing lesbian, and she refuses to issue heterosexual license. But yet nothing has ever been said about that. And what about the sheriff in California who refuses to issue gun permits for people out there, for citizens, legal citizens, to buy guns, but yet nothing is said about that? You know, it shows a double standard in our judicial system. But when it comes to the Word of God, praise God, there is no double standard. God hasn't changed. And that's what I want you to walk away with tonight. And as we close out this broadcast, I want you to walk away with the understanding that the Word of God does not change. Just as God healed this lame man at the gate of the temple and used that healing as a testimony of the glory of God, used it to empower Peter and John with the encouragement to preach, as they were anointed by the Holy Ghost, and 5,000 people got saved because of it. Then they were thrown in jail for a night. Then they were brought before the leaders, and they were threatened, and they were talked to, and they were told not to preach Jesus anymore. And they just look at these folks and they say, are you kidding? You decide. You decide whether it's more important for me to listen to God or to listen to you. And you know, I think that's where we're going in this country, unfortunately. I think we're going to a point and a place and a time where we, as born-again children of God, are going to have to decide where we stand. So, as we end our broadcast tonight, I do want to ask you, where do you stand? I hope you stand knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I hope you are bold enough in that salvation to stand as Peter and John did, and to stand as this woman has, and to withstand the threats of the government in order to force you to comply with sin. That's all I have for this broadcast. I hope it's been a blessing in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Until next time, America, God bless you, is my prayer.